And Lord, I thank you. I thank you for the grace that you've allowed me to be here. And we ask, Lord, that during this last session, you would move by your Holy Spirit through your word, through your presence, through the truth. Lord, speak things to us that I'm not even saying. If there's something somebody needs to receive from you, if they have their Bibles open and they look on the left side of the page and you pop something out at them that's not even in the session, Lord, just be heard, be known, be obeyed, be reverenced, be esteemed as Lord of our lives. Father, if there's an unbeliever in our midst, Lord, or more, a seeker, someone who's kind of checking out to see if this is really true and should they really become a Christian, not just a churchgoer, someone who's been baptized, but someone who's following Christ, Lord, we pray that they would make that decision even now as I'm praying or during the session or come up to someone after and say, you know, I'm a sinner and I've fallen short of God's glory and I believe Christ died for my sins. I need him to be my Lord and my Savior. I want to be born again. I don't want to be a churchgoer. I don't want to be someone who's just, you know, says the right things. I want a new nature. So, Father, we just pray for any of those in our midst that today would be the day of salvation and they would not harden their hearts. And we thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we are back here in Jeremiah 17, and now we're starting in verse 7. We did the cursed part. Now we're on the blessed part. Yay! So, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, verse 8, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. So now we're on the blessed part, the one who trusts in the Lord. I think it's really neat to know that, I love that phrase, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. I think it's in Psalm 37, it says that. And there's a song we sing at church, you know, and it says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. And I always love that line because we think blessed is the one who gets the answer for their prayer after they trust in the Lord. But it's while you're trusting, and it hasn't happened, is when you're being told you're blessed. So I always like that. So I go, wow, if I want to be blessed, I can just choose to trust right at this moment and be blessed. And sure enough, right at that moment, I'm blessed by just choosing. So if you're going, I want a blessed day, just say, oh, I'm going to trust in the Lord and I'll have a blessed day. And notice, you know, a lot of the little things we go through are all tests to see if we can trust the Lord in the small things. And so, you know, I really encourage you in situations and you find yourself like kind of panicking, use those moments to practice trust, you know, in the small things so that you're kind of used to the trust gauge for the bigger. You know, when you can't find the keys or, you know, you ever make a recipe and you're all ready to make dinner, you're like, oh my gosh, green onions. Like you totally, like the one item like you need, right? And you timed it just, you know, and you're all panicking. And of course, you're not trusting the Lord, the green onions, you know. So you got to practice with small things so that you can trust even better on the big things. So practice a little trust, trying to get somewhere on time. If you ever pack for a trip and you can't find certain things. My husband and I, this whole trip has been just one thing after another. We're like, because there's so many things I have to have with me, so many medications, and we get to LAX, and that's a whole other story. And then, and it was great though because we paid a wheelchair lady to take me, and she just jammed through every. She goes, excuse me, wheelchair, 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 and she's, you know, I gave her $10. I just said, this lady, I want her to always take me to my gate. She got me past things I shouldn't have gotten past just because I have a wheelchair, you know. I go, man, you are good. You know, I close my eyes a lot because I feel like I was going to, you know, see people flying, you know. But, you know, we would always go, I go, oh, I forgot the battery. We didn't charge the battery. I don't have the second battery. You know, we couldn't find these other pills. And, you know, it's like you realize I'm not trusting, just in the smallest things. And you have to like calm your spirit down sometimes and command yourself to trust. Say, stop it, trust. Sometimes nobody's there to tell you that. So you and the Holy Spirit gotta get it together. Say, stop it. It's obvious you're not trusting, you're anxious. I can see I'm not trusting. I can feel I'm not trusting. And it's okay. That's a barometer. We're growing in trust. That's not failure. That's called sanctification. It's growing and learning and becoming more like him. So the one who trusts in the Lord is the one who is blessed. Babylon eventually came and conquered the southern kingdom, and there was unnecessary devastation and damage. If they might have turned on back to the Lord early in Jeremiah, maybe that wouldn't have happened. I don't know. But they didn't listen. They hardened their hearts, and they surrounded themselves with the messages they wanted to hear. They weren't ready to admit that they weren't trusting in the Lord. Just admit it when we're not. I mean, even this afternoon, there was just a lot going on in my own life. I have a swallowing disorder. I don't really want to eat with people because I can't talk when I eat. I can't eat most foods. It's just like, just trying to eat for me is like, I was on a feeding tube for 3 months at one time. It's like just thinking of a meal can make me anxious. Like, ugh. And especially when I'm somewhere else. Like, what is there going to be? And can I eat it? And all that. And I told the Lord, I'm totally not trusting in you. I said, I'm actually absolutely panicked about lunch. I said, I am so sorry. I'm so glad we're learning this. I apologize to you. I said, help me. You know, look to you. And that was really neat because I was going through the book of Psalms in the morning, and I was in a psalm, I think it was 104. It was all about the Lord feeding all the animals. Like he feeds this on the grass, and he gives them that, and Leviathan's playing in the sea, and all these different, and he says that he opens his hands, and he satisfies, and he feeds every living thing. And I go, gosh, you feed the squirrels, and you're gonna feed me. Like, it's okay, you're going to help me. And you know, sometimes we're little girls, and we just have to get into our little daddy's arms and just say, okay, I believe you. I just got scared. And, you know, he doesn't rebuke you for that. He strengthens you when you go through that. He's not rebuking. He's drawing us near to where we know. There's a verse, I don't have the reference, but it says, those who know your name will place their trust in you. And knowing his name means we know his character. And we usually know that we're not trusting because we're spending more time on the details of the problem than on the character of God. And we do need to know details of problems, but we also need to know details of God. And sometimes we just push one out and bring the other one in. And it's very important that we don't forget the details of God in the midst of the details of our problems. And it's hard to do because they seem to dance in front of us, don't they? But we have to kind of blow them out of the way a little bit and bring back in the faithfulness of God. They weren't trusting in the Lord. They listened to false prophets. And we need to know that there's always going to be temptation to listen to what we want to hear. But we know that we have to trust the Lord no matter what he tells us. The comfort we have is in hearing the Lord, not necessarily what he says. It's his voice, not his message, that should bring us comfort. And I was sharing this with someone at the break that when I was a little girl, I'm one of 8 children, 7 boys and 1 girl. And I'm the baby. Yes, I'm tough. And when I was the first one, when we went to bed, I was the first one to go to bed because I was a baby. So you have to go to bed first, you know, and pout. Why do I have to go to bed? But you're the baby, so you go to bed. So I had a bedroom next to the living room, and they had put up a wall and made the extra room because so many kids are going on. And that didn't have any insulation in that wall. And so everybody would be in the living room watching TV while I was in my room pouting that I had to go to bed. And so I would lay there kind of pouting. But then my dad would talk sometimes, and I couldn't understand what he was saying because there's a wall. But I'd say, and I knew when it was my dad's voice. And I felt close to him, even though I didn't understand what he was saying, because I could hear his voice, just the sound of his voice. And sometimes we don't know what God's really saying to us, but we can tell he's talking. And we can tell him, I'm not getting it, but I know you're talking to me. And it's your voice that I treasure more than what you're saying to me. The fact that you're talking to me at all. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We have to honor his words, not the words we want to hear. We know we value God when we say, whatever you say, your word, I'll do. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. In Jeremiah 23, verse 16, the same prophet delivers this message from the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you. Do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you. They make you worthless. The input you're taking in is devaluing your life. You're listening to the wrong voices from me, because they're not from me. You guys, everyone who comes in the name of the Lord is not coming in the name of the Lord. Now, I also want to remind people that are hyper sensitive about if Christianity comes with a different brand, they're not of the Lord. It's not true either. Okay, don't be throwing out everybody that everybody says is a false prophet, because I find a lot of these false prophets are not false prophets. It's just a different culture of Christianity. And people get high-minded, and if it's not in the package they're used to, anathema. You know, it's just, you know, there's a lot of teachers out there that may teach things that we're not really used to, but they're not necessarily quote-unquote false prophets. They may be watered down doctrinally. They may not know the word very well, but they're not blasphemy. And I always tell pastors and teachers, and I go on and on, oh, and did you hear so-and-so? And I go, I'd like to take all your sermons and take things out of your sermons and put them in a book and show that you're off. Because I'm sure if you took things I said and took things out, and I would, you know, you could make everybody a false teacher. So I don't want you to throw the baby out with the bathwater. But I do want you to throw out the bathwater. I really want you to still know that there are false prophets. And they were in the time of Jeremiah, and they're here today. And they come in the name of the Lord, and they're not speaking in the name of the Lord. I get to be part of a group of women that a Calvary Chapel pastor's wife would normally not be involved in. But I am, and God's called me to be part of this group of people. And there are people in there that are just wonderful, sincere believers that just haven't been fed very well, so they're a little malnourished. But there's people in that group, too, that say things that my spirit is clear as day. I can tell this person is saying exactly what they think people want to hear, and they're not giving what God's telling them to say. I can tell. My spirit discerns that. I have the discerning of spirits. And I can tell that. And we have to be very careful, because he says, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you. They make you worthless. They speak a vision of their own heart, not from the mouth of the Lord, of their own heart. Remember Peter, Jesus talking about going to the cross? And he said, oh no, may it never happen to you. That's a nice friend. I would want a friend to say, I hope that doesn't happen to you. I wouldn't want somebody to say, yeah, you're getting crucified. You know, like, you know, I mean, really, it's a good heart, but it wasn't from the Lord. But he also wasn't, you know, he wasn't disqualified, Peter, because of that. And to me, you know, when Jesus turned around and said, get thee behind me, Satan, Jesus was putting himself between Satan and Peter. He's going, I'm going to make sure you don't listen to Satan, who wants to say the road to follow Christ is always easy, that the way of following Christ involves crucifixion and hard things. They were still learning that. I don't think Peter was arrogant or anything. I think he really didn't want Jesus to get hurt, but he was saying, you don't do that. If I say I must do something and I'm Jesus, I must do it. So you've got to be able to accept hard things, not just the pleasant ones. It is the way of a Christian, is the way of the cross. And in the world, we will have tribulation. And if the world goes as it is intended to go, persecution will come. And we're going to face things like we've never faced, or the next generation, the generation to come. It says that they speak from their own hearts. And remember, it said that their hearts had departed from the Lord. So It wasn't from the mouth of the Lord. And to be blessed, ladies, we want to hear from the mouth of the Lord. Even if what we hear sounds like a curse to us. You know, kids are convinced that when you take them in and they have to have a needle for any reason, immunization, antibiotics, blood tests, you are the meanest parent. You're paying someone to poke me. They are just convinced that it's a curse when it's really a blessing to help them. I was in the emergency room on Monday night for something, and I was waiting in this triage room, and there was a lady outside, and her voice, I couldn't see her, but she was at least like 20, you know, her voice, and they were going to do a blood test. And she said, I've never had a blood test. I know, I was sitting there going, how could she never have had a blood test at this age, you know? And she goes, I'm scared of needles, you know? And so I was praying for her in there because that's pretty tragic to be that age and never have been poked. You know, I mean, you get scared. But she, in her mind, could know it's necessary for her health. She's mature. So she knows pain might bring cure. Children don't know that. And children in the Lord don't know that. That something that might be painful might really be part of the cure. And it's important for us to know that. That's why we trust. We don't have to trust the Lord in the things that we like. It's no problem. You know, like, oh, I have to trust him right now while we're so rich. And, you know, like, it's, you know, like, oh, you know, like, we trust and we have endurance for the things that are difficult. You know, okay, now don't get me wrong, because you get a lot of money and you need to trust the Lord because you can start trusting in the money. But what I mean is that to command yourself to place your trust in the Lord is a time when you start to panic, when you feel out of control. And it says in verse 17 about these false prophets, they continually say to those who despise me, the Lord has said, you shall have peace. And to everyone who walks according to the dictates of his own heart, they say, no evil shall come upon you. Now, we have this today where it's always a positive message. God is about to bless you. You're about to get that great job. You're about to, you know, do this and that. And you know, sometimes that is a prophecy, and that does happen at times. But I know I was listening to a teacher that I'm not opposed to, but most people are. And I was listening to them teach through the story of Joseph. And I was trying to figure out, what is it that he's doing that's making people say he's a false teacher? And I want to understand it exactly. And so I was listening to him teach. It was a great study on Joseph and his whole situation. And how, you know, he got sold in slavery. And then, of course, you know, he gets lied to by Potiphar's wife. Then he gets forsaken by the people in the jail. I mean, the guy had a bummer of a time going on. He'd do pretty well, do pretty well. And then, of course, he ended up way up here. So I'm listening, very good study. And then when I noticed that, I go, oh, that's what he does. And that's why people say that. So he went right to, you're about to be raised up like Joseph was next to Potiphar. Next to Pharaoh. I go, oh, he's interpreting the text to a vast audience and saying everybody's hearing it. That's the part of the story that they fall under, is the good part of the story. Where sometimes you are about to be raised up. But I'm going, but what if you're the person whose brothers are going to sell you into slavery next week? And that's the part of the story that you're supposed to identify with. Or what if, you know, Potiphar's wife, you're going to have a false accusation. And that's the part of the story. That's why good Bible teaching doesn't tell you which part of the story applies to you. Because you have to pick up on that by the Holy Spirit. And I realize, oh, he picks the best part of the story. And then says that's what applies to everyone who's listening at any time that they hear. They go, well, that can't be. Because, you know, Joseph didn't even go through that. He had ups and downs and ups and downs. So I go, I just think he likes that and wants people, you know, he hopes that for everybody, that that's the stage that they're at. But that's why we have to be careful. If everything's always, the Lord's going to bless you and go and do all that's in your heart. Remember when David wanted to build the temple? And remember, which prophet was it? Who, Nathan? It was Nathan, thank you. Nathan said, go and do all that's in your heart. And as Nathan was leaving, the Holy Spirit said, hey, ¿qué pasó? I never told you to say that. Just because David's all a man after God's own heart and anointed doesn't mean he always gets it right. And just because you're Mr. Prophet and you hear from me, you didn't hear me right. And Nathan had to go back and say, you know what? God didn't really say that. I just assumed that's what God was going to say because it's a great idea. You know, so Nathan wasn't like false prophet, get out. He made a mistake. That's why we test prophecies. So, you know, we test things and we hold on to what is good. And so encouraging people to follow their own hearts is just not a good thing. You know, remember that cartoon Arthur, you know, where the kids watch this, it's just believe in yourself. That's the place to start. You know, I'd always tell the kids when we get to that part, no, let's change it to the Lord. So we'd be watching PBS and we'd say, you know, believe in the Lord. That's the place to start. I mean, don't believe in yourself because you're all over the map and you're not a good place to fix your trust in. You know, think positive. God has good plans for you, but your faith and trust have to be in God, not even in self. And so these prophets were encouraging people to go after their own hearts. If we have friends who do this, they are not the best of friends, but they may mean well. You don't leave this retreat, go to your friends. The teacher at the retreat said, we can't be friends because you like always encourage me to go after my heart. You're just a false prophet. You know, give them a little grace. They're growing. They just love you. But let's be careful that we're not so agreeable with everybody all the time. And let's also be careful we're not always disagreeable. Let's try to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. If somebody says something and, you know, let me pray about that. Or, you know, be careful. Even Nathan made that mistake. So you can make that mistake and it doesn't mean you're malicious or a false prophet. But these were false prophets. And they were kind of reading people's hearts. And they knew they'd have a better job security if they told people what they wanted to hear. They'd sell more books. More people would come to the conferences. They'd be more popular and on radio and stuff. So they just knew what to do to get a following. And that's what they did. And it can happen in our culture today. In verse 18, it says that these prophets, it's saying, because of these prophets, who has stood in the counsel of the Lord and has perceived and heard his word? Who has marked his word and heard it? Where is to stand in the counsel of the Lord, to stay in his word? Even if the majority of our friends aren't, or even the church we go to starts preaching weird stuff, you know, you have every right to like disagree with any pastor or teacher up here. Respectfully, always respectfully, but you use the scriptures and you go up and say, hey, I don't know if that's right. If a pastor or teacher can't take dialogue over that, they're in a dangerous place. Don't come up all, you know, well, in the Greek, you know. Like don't come up all arrogant. Just say, hey, I don't know about that. And talk with each other and see what the scriptures say. We should have a fear of the Lord like that, that nobody has a market on truth except for God himself. And so we're very cautious with prophets and teachers and books. You know, Christian books, you have to pray before you read them. It's not the Bible. And even people I greatly respect and read their stuff, I've gotten chapters of their books and totally disagreed. Said, I respectfully disagree with this person on this chapter. But I don't throw them out and go on the next chapter and enjoy them. They're just people. And it's not the scripture. I'm not stumbled. I'm learning to discern and grow. It says, who has perceived his word? We should have a great reverence and know when God is speaking. It also says, who has heard his word? Are we staying in a place of exposure? Don't turn your ear away. Have you turned into someone that you never listened to Christian teaching on the radio anymore? Like, oh, yeah, I used to do that when I was first saved. But now I'm all into, you know, Fox News, or I'm all into this, or I'm all into that. It doesn't mean you can't listen. I like fun music. I put a lot of dance music on when I'm cleaning the house because it goes by faster. But sometimes, you know, is it all swapped out? You know, are you starting to become like Judah, the southern nation, where they're not really hearing the words of the Lord? You know what's really fun with the internet these days is you can take a text like this one, and it could go on for the next month. You can find so many pastors that teach on the same text. and do it for like all of the next month of March and just learn every angle of Jeremiah 17:5. I mean, you could like go to Bible college, never have to pay for it, and just grow and listen to everybody and even go, wait a minute, Maureen said this and I think he's more right. Well, good. Then go with him on that. Go with wherever the Holy Spirit's leading you in the text. We have so much available to us to grow and hear and be exposed to truth. It's amazing. I love it. Christmas time. You know, there's always things to do like wrap presents, decorate the house. I always go on sermons and do Christmas sermons from all different kinds of people. And people I don't even know. I just find somebody out in the middle of Arkansas that recorded their, you know, and I just listen to some guy's teaching on the birth of Christ and just fill my home listening to different studies. Not, why wait for Christmas Eve for the Christmas message? You know, I want to hear it the whole season. Mark his word and hear it. Let's go down to verse 21 here. It says, I have not sent these prophets. Look at that. What are the next three words? What? Go ahead, speak it. Yes, they ran. They didn't just walk. They like ran to give the wrong thing. They took an opportunity to go and share false prophecies. Like, you know, they want to speak at this conference and speak at that conference. You know, I'm around a lot of interesting teachers, you know. And I'm like, if I have to go to one more conference that talks about your destiny, or they use these words, same words every single time, these catchphrases. And, you know, for women's conferences in particular, they're not, I'm not talking about just average retreats. I'm talking about these conferences that I've had the privilege to be a part of them. You know, I'm always like listening, going, you know, but if I get an opportunity to teach anywhere, I'll teach. And if somebody says I'm a false teacher because I taught after a false teacher, I don't care because I'm giving the truth to people who need the truth. And, you know, you don't like me, I'm sorry, I don't care. I'm going to go and do what I'm supposed to do. And I'm going to teach wherever I'm called to teach. And some of these people are not malicious. They just have been taught the wrong thing. If somebody's been taught the wrong thing, but they think it's right, they're going to teach it. And have a little mercy on them, and they'll get around to it, especially if they haven't tasted it yet. Then they start tasting truth. They go, wait a minute. And they really grow in it, and they enjoy it, and it's very fun. He says, I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. Verse 22. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they would have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. And you guys, please don't despise prophecy. The gifts are alive and well in the work of the Holy Spirit these days. And many of you, God wants you to speak prophecies. It says, desire spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Be open to that, to giving somebody a word. I always like to say, look, I'm not sure. But I think the Lord gave me a word for you, because I'm always so scared I'm going to say the wrong thing. But I tell them, and then I let them test it. You know, be a mouthpiece for the Lord and see what he wants to do. They ran to speak what the popular words were. They were in with the king. They had it pretty smooth and comfy in the palace. They liked their position. They like the respect and the high places to be respected as a prophet and to sit here. And we have a reserved parking space for you over here. And they have all the green rooms over here. And you know, they were all into this, you know. But God hadn't given them these prophecies. If they had stood in God's counsel and caused his people to hear his words, people would have turned and things would have been blessed as God defines blessed. Back in Jeremiah 17, it says, blessed is the man, verse 7, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord. Does anybody have to pinch anybody yet? Are y'all still awake? You okay? Okay. You can just get a little Pentecostal, if keep yourself awake and go like this. Just go like that. Okay. Our eyes are looking to him. We have to have hope in the Lord and know he has things up his sleeve we would never think of. And that's the fun part, is to realize that there are ideas and ways of deliverance we would never have thought of. And God just does things in a way that we are absolutely impressed with, and no man can take credit for. You're like, I would never have planned it that way. I can't believe he did that. God is just phenomenal. There's a story I just feel like telling you because he did it. God did this, and I want to proclaim his works. A friend of mine forever was trying to get pregnant again, and she had had some abortions earlier in her life, and she ended up having a little boy, and she really wanted another child. But she definitely went through, had to go through a lot of healing after realizing, you know, what she had done and receive forgiveness and God's cleansing and, you know, make peace with her decisions and know she's going to meet these children one day. And she got pregnant with her second child. And then they told her, she was so excited. Then they told her, I'm sorry, it's a Müller pregnancy, which is just a pregnancy that's not viable. It's not going to last. It's not even forming into a human. It's kind of like cells all growing. And we're going to have to go ahead and do a DNC and take that Müller pregnancy out. She wept and cried. And she was scared to go in and get the DNC because it reminded her of the abortions. She's terrified. She called me that morning. We prayed together. And I said, I can't imagine what you're facing. And let me just, God is with you. It's not... You're not killing a child, and remember you're forgiven. Remember those children are safe in the arms of the Lord. You're clothed in his righteousness. And she went in, and they went to scrape and did everything. And she actually overbled a lot. They had to give her blood, and it was done. So she wept, came home, and just felt so sad, you know, that she wanted a baby. And so she went in to get checked a couple weeks later. And they were checking to make sure she healed okay. Well, long story short, she went in 2 weeks later, and they said, you have an eight-week-old fetus in your uterus. You have a baby in there. There was a baby in her womb that made it through the DNC. Oh, no, no. This is like, yeah. I told my husband, this is the only miracle I ever saw. I'm already like so impressed with God. And what baby makes it through a DNC? You know what I'm saying? They're supposed to be real thorough with those. And then of course, is the baby damaged? Missing a leg or arm? I mean, then you go through that thing. That baby was born perfectly healthy. Yeah, and she's like 10 years old today and made it through it. And the Lord kind of showed her, you know, even with your abortions, I could have protected those babies. I was there in the womb. I forgive you. I was there. I was with your children. I'm a part of your life. I'm in the womb. And I love you. And I forgive you. And it's going to be okay. And I'm redeeming. I put you through a DNC and gave you a baby from it. She was like, you know, just in shock that she had that baby. This is why we trust in the Lord, because we couldn't have written that story. Nobody, you couldn't. That doesn't even make sense. You know what I'm saying? I was in Germany when we found out the baby was there. They called me and reached me over there. I felt my knees gave out, and I fell on the floor, and I just couldn't believe that. But that's what, when we trust in the Lord, he does things we would never petition him for. He does things beyond. Do you ever just say, Lord... Like, I'm finding the older I'm getting, the more I'm praying about things and saying, Lord, this is a situation. Send a remedy. Or I don't say, and if you do this, and he calls her, because I still have one unmarried child. So I have my idea, you know, who she should marry. And so, you know, I want to pray, oh, I hope he goes over there and sees her and her Instagram. And then they do this. And, you know, but I realize I don't want to be blamed if it doesn't work out very well. So I better just say, here's my unmarried daughter. Lord, you choose the right person for her. You know who's best for her. And doesn't it feel better than getting so detailed? The more detailed you are, you're just cluttered with your ideas. And ideas kind of clutter out trust. I'm doing good with time, right? Is it 20 till? Is that right? Am I looking okay? Okay. And I have until 3, yeah? Yeah. Okay. Just me. I'm having such a good time. Time is just stopping. It's like, oh, let's just stay here all day. So, you know, just us girls. So, Psalm 123, verse 2. I love this verse. It says, behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their masters, or as the eyes of a maid to the hand of her mistress. Like, You've got this, like, a girl with her handmaiden, a guy with a servant. And the ones who are the servants, when they're in the room with royalty or whoever they're serving, they'll, like, stand by the door, they'll sit in their chair, and they're looking at any minute for the person who's in charge of them. If they need something to drink, they need them to go take care of something, they're watching. And they're not looking around, they're not doing this, they're looking to the person who's over them in authority. It says, so our eyes look to the Lord our God until he has mercy on us, that we're looking to him for any time he asks us to do something to get involved. We're not running ahead of the Lord. We're just keeping our eyes on him at any minute that he tells us to do something. Isaiah 30, verse 15, this is one of my favorites. It says, for thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel. Isaiah 30, 15. And that's easy to remember because 15 plus 15 is 30. So now you always know 30, 15. You'll go, that's some neat verse. Okay, it says, in returning and rest, you shall be saved. But I love this part. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. So if we want to be strong, don't talk so much about it. And be confident. If you're confident, you can be quiet. And if you're quiet, you'll be more confident. I've noticed that sometimes when I'm just too, like, telling everybody my problems or telling every detail or something to my husband or getting, like, I'm agitating myself because it's just, like, too much going on. And it says, in quietness and confidence shall be your strength. The Lord gave me this verse for one of my children on how to discipline him when he was little. The only child I got a verse about disciplining, the Lord said, you have to be very quiet and never raise your voice with him. And you have to be very confident, but confident in a quiet way. That his little personality, his little frame shuts down if I'm loud. And I end up, you know, when you're like, la, 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 you're not confident, you're all, you know, and I would just have to be quiet, like, well, you know, you're grounded. What? That's all. I'll be in the kitchen. Like, it's done, you know, like, that's all there was to it. Didn't turn into a yelling match. I just quietly and confidently make my decisions for this child in any kind of discipline. And, you know, it really didn't crush his spirit. He was easily crushed by words. The Lord knew his little frame and wanted me not to do that to him. My other, you know, the girls were fighters, you know. They could take it. I didn't have to be quiet and confident around them. I got to, what are you doing? And we go back and forth. But not this little boy. He just couldn't take mom being so loud and too many words. He needed to be quiet and confident. And I would be a stronger mother as a result of it in parenting him. But in our lives, I read this the other day. I know this verse. And it's, again, that training, right? You get the same verse again. I go, oh, my gosh, I know this verse. I'm not doing it. I go, dang, okay, I got to get back on this. Quietness and confidence. Thank you, Lord. I got to go back to those. Those are super important. And I want to be strong. And I get strength from being quiet and being confident. We need to be quiet and confident. Hope in what we cannot see. This is another great verse I heard the other day. Deuteronomy 29:29. That, I don't know, it hit me in a special way. I hope it blesses you. It says in Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things belong to the Lord our God. Our future is secret to us. It belongs to God and not us. And we talk about our future as if we own it. But it says the secret things belong to the Lord our God. But the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may follow all the words of the law. So what I do know about the Lord, what I do know about quietness and confidence, the things I've learned, that belongs to me, and I need to do it. The secret things belong to the Lord, and I'm not to try to take those out of his hands and be in charge of them. Jeremiah, this is one of my editing things. When you get in here, you're going to go, oh, she put John instead of Jeremiah. Jeremiah 17:8, you could feel real smart. It says, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river. So as we trust, not in these false prophets, not in the secret things that we cannot see, as we trust that we know we don't know, but he does. Have you ever told the Lord that? Lord, I know you know how this day goes. I love telling the Lord, Lord, you already see my last breath, where I am, and what it looks like. And that was before I even had cancer. I used to say that. I go, so I need to really gel in with you because you see that. It says we're going to be like a tree. And we're going to be not the shrub. We're going to be a tree. You want to be a shrub or a tree? I want a tree. I want shrubs in my front yard. I want a tree over there. A tree. And it says planted by a source of nourishment. You're going to be a tree that's planted firm next to somewhere where you're going to get what you need. You're going to be near what you need. You're going to have access to what you need. You're going to be watered by a source of water that doesn't change based upon whether it rains or not. Because rivers generally don't come from rain. Oftentimes they come from snowmelt, from a long time ago, or underground springs, from way on top of hills that end up coming down. You in Palm Springs, that's a desert. But there's a whole river going through there. There's no water in there, but it comes from up where there was snow last year. And underground springs bring the river. So the waters of the river usually come from a higher source, not rain that's right in front of you and the quick little storm that flies through. You know, rivers flow because they have sources that are uninterrupted. Oftentimes, those springs that are under the earth that are not affected by anything on the outside, but they're at an altitude where they flow down. We get nourished from a higher place and from the secret things. The things under the surface come and they nourish us. We constantly are drawing on that which keeps us flexible, makes us green, and gives us what we need to flourish. I like where it says, we'll be like a tree that spreads out its roots. That's the tree's responsibility. God plants. God gives the river. But the tree spreads its roots out to draw from the river. It means that the roots go up here, over there, downstream a little bit. You know, there's a lot of places. The tree doesn't have one root, and that's it. And it's just coming through this one. You know, roots are all over the place. They're getting nourishment from a lot of different places. We have to go deeper. We have to hold on to his promises. We have to look for the nourishment. It isn't an apathetic planting, but it's planting that we're cooperating with God with. Where has he planted you? Where has he planted you? And what river is flowing by you that you're not spreading your root to? You're like, no, my favorite show's on, you know, Wednesday night. And so what, there's Bible study. You have a DVR now. There's no reason we ever have to control our lives by entertainment. I'm so thankful for that, that I can just record shows and TV doesn't tell me when to watch it. I can go watch it when I have the time to watch it and get on with life. You know, I have certain shows I like. I record them and go to them when I feel the Lord says, sit down, enjoy a show. I'll sit down and enjoy the show. But I don't have to miss something like a river that I'm supposed to be drawing from because the show is on. It's just a great thing in our day and age. We have to take advantage of that which keeps us well-watered. Where has he planted you? What kind of friends do you have? Are you cultivating those friendships? Are you praying with people regularly? You know, are your friends now just hanging out? Or have you guys decided, let's meet together, pray for our marriage just once a week? Or let's call each other and pray together. Like, that waters us when you fellowship with people and you pray together. I mean, have you lost that? Have you rededicated your friendships to the Lord? I love to do that. Oftentimes when I pray with my friends, you know, we'll talk on the phone and I'll say, oh, they've got to go. I go, okay, who's going to close in prayer? You don't say goodbye. Close in prayer. Right? The third chord keeps that friendship. And then sometimes I'll pray. I'll say, Lord, I rededicate this friendship to your glory. And if we distract each other, or if we're not good for each other, then let us not be friends. But if we help each other grow closer to you and become more like you, protect and preserve this friendship. and make it bring you glory. Help us love each other the way you want us to. Help us be merciful to each other when we fail one another. And keep those friendships Christ-centered, not just two Christians who are friends. Keep Christ in the center. We spread our roots into worship music. You know, I like all kinds of music. I don't just listen to worship music, because I just do. I like all kinds of fun. Sometimes I just listen to Christmas music. Sometimes I listen to Hawaiian music. Sometimes I listen to, I just like music because I'm a musician. So I like music. But there's times when I'm going, you know what? Totally need only worship. Fill in my house today. You know, like, I got to just keep it on and play in every room when I'm taking a shower. You know, I need that spreading my root out and pulling in from those songs. Good books. I have a very hard time reading now that I'm on so many medications for the words to come off of the page, go into my head, and process. Really hard for me. But I can listen to a book being read. So I've been asking friends, can you just come over and read to me? Because I can follow it. Or I ask my husband, read to me, because then I can follow a book. Bible I can read, because you know, you don't read it like a regular book. It's a little slower to read. But you know, good books that we have. You guys have some great ones that's just telling us about. Programs at your church, opportunities to serve. What's the river that you're supposed to spread your root to? Are you low? This is where I get my nourishment, and it's only this. That's not spreading out your roots. That's being too dependent on one source of nourishment. Ask the Lord, what could I be drawing from that I'm not? You planted me by a river. Maybe I've just gotten a little picky and a little stuck. And there's other sources of nourishment to help me grow and be green and produce fruit that I've neglected. Or I just figured every time that announcement comes up, someone else goes to that. I don't do that. Listen. You know, we don't tell the Lord, I don't do windows. You know, we don't tell the Lord what we do and don't do. I really think whenever there's an announcement, we say, is it I? We need help in the huddle room. Is it me? We need donations for this. Should I donate? I like to ask the Lord at each announcement, am I supposed to do that? I used to do the opposite. I would just sign up for everything. Well, that doesn't work either, right? So I learned to start saying, that's a pastor's wife problem. You just fall into that, you know, because you're like, oh, no, my husband needs help. I'll do everything, you know, run every ministry. So you have to go, no. So, you know, just ask the Lord, is it I? Roots draw from different places of the river. And it says there in Jeremiah 17, and this tree that's planted, because it's drawing from all these sources, will not fear when heat comes. Because it's the environment is not determining its health, because it's getting its nourishment from the roots. You don't see the roots. You see the fruit. You don't see the roots. But any good fruit comes from good roots. We focus more on the hidden man in Christ. Then the outward man will demonstrate the things that God wants seen in our lives. See, sometimes in our culture, we do too many things to be seen by man. Not always intentionally thinking we're doing it, but we don't have an intimate, private relationship with Christ that no one touches, or it's very minimal if it is there. It says, but its leaf will be green. The roots establish its condition. Is there a drought? No problem. Because the river is still flowing. Even if the land around the tree is dry, the river is flowing from a place where the drought is not affecting it, and it's getting what it needs from that river. Roots are spread into the water sources that are available, not waiting for the rain, but planted near consistent sources of refreshment. Do you have that in your life? What is consistent? Keep it going. Be consistent. Colossians 2:6 says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established. See, the Lord wants rooted and established, abounding in it with thanksgiving. We should be drawing the water in that God has sent to us. And you know, when we abound with giving thanks, it helps us give trust. We trust when we give thanks, because the more we thank him, the more we remember all he is, all he's done, and all he's able to do So we trust more when we give thanks more. And I know that's hard, because there's some days I get up, I tell my husband, I have to give more thanks. You know, I have to, because I feel like I'm murmuring and complaining all the time about the things that are wrong in my body. And I got to say, thank you for my dog, and thank you for my blanket. It's so soft. My husband packed my favorite blanket. He didn't even tell me. I go, oh, you packed my dachshund blanket. It's kind of like if my dachshund's not here, I get my dogs to the blanket. And I said, thank you, honey, and it's so soft. And but instead of just that, thank you, Lord, for a soft blanket. Thank you for insurance. Thank you for airplanes that make this. I mean, can you imagine driving all the way to Tennessee? I mean, that's hard, you know. So what a blessing to just, you know, for a short time to get here. If we have a hard time trusting in something now, giving thanks will help us remember what he's done. Immediacy has a way of drowning out the voice of God's past faithfulness. The immediate will try to overshadow his past faithfulness. It does. It just does. Because we're living in the immediate, huh? And sometimes you're just like, I can't remember what happened yesterday. You know, but we have to force ourselves. Even that story about that little girl, and her name is Kivi, K-I-V-I, it's Hebrew for hidden. Like God hid her from this scalpel and everything. And just thinking of Kivi, I mean, all of us could just go, well, look what he did for Kivi. You know, same God who loves you, loves Kivi and protected her in the womb. I mean, that's pretty vulnerable. You're a little baby in a womb, and they're doing a DNC, and God protected that little baby. And you say, that's the same God who loves me. If something's coming after me, you can hold on to that same work, because it's the same character of God, isn't it? For both of us, giving thanks will make the Lord bigger in our situation. Psalm 69:30 says, I will praise the name of God with a song, and I'll magnify him with thanksgiving. I'll make him bigger in the situation by giving him thanks. Jeremiah 17:8 goes on with the person who trusts the Lord, that not only about the heat, but I won't be anxious in the year of drought. We're going to have those years of drought, you guys. As we trust in the one who owns the secret things, we're not going to be anxious when the new rain isn't coming, because we're not looking for rain. We're focusing on our roots. We're focusing on the river. Not the rain, not the things that come and go, but the things that are constant and consistent and faithful. We, like Joseph, stored grain in times of plenty, so we have things in times of drought. I always tell newly pregnant moms who never were pregnant before, Christians, I always go, you're going to feel like you're backslidden for the first 90 days after you're pregnant. I thought for sure I was backslidden, because, you know, your hormones are like, who is this? You know, like my husband goes, I couldn't stand you when you were pregnant. I go, I couldn't stand me either. I'm like, I used to be able to handle things. I'm crying. I'm weird. I'm, you know, the postpartum. I was like a nut after I have a baby. I was like, I didn't know what was happening to me, you know, and you felt lost and spiraling out of control. And I didn't know that your hormones have to like get all evened out again, you know. But during those times, it's like a drought time. And you have to go back to like, no, this is a season of drought. I'll get through this. I will get through this. Continuing in Jeremiah 17:8, it says, nor will this tree cease from yielding fruit. Fruit will not be related to seasons and environment. It will come from the roots. A trusting believer produces fruit in the drought and the dry times. And you know what? Oftentimes it's fruit we don't recognize, but other people see it. Oh, sorry, that's medicine time. Let me see if I can get out of here, back to the Facebook. Sorry. Okay, let's be those people who put our trust in the Lord, hope in the Lord, and know that he planted us. We didn't plant ourselves. It says he plants us by the rivers. He brings the sources that we need. And let's spread out our roots and not listen to false prophets. And let's not be anxious in the year of drought or be afraid when the heat comes, because we have stable, consistent sources of nourishment and refreshment. Let's have that blessed, consistent, established, rooted life that's defined by unchanging sources of water, because we are people who put our trust in the Lord. Lord, thank you so much for this. These few verses are really chock full of neat things. And Lord, help us as your people to trust you. We believe, but help us with any unbelief. Father, thank you for bringing us along and maturing us in our ability to trust. Father, you know what the future holds. The secret things belong to you, but the revealed things belong to us. So, Father, the quietness and confidence, help us do that. The things that you brought into our lives that we already know, help us to do and spread our roots and draw from them. Not just look at the river, look at the nice river, but draw from the river, connect to the river, and let those things and those truths and refreshment and sources of encouragement really nourish and bring out the greenness in our lives. Lord, life is just too hard for us, and we need you desperately. And I thank you, Lord, that you look at us as a father has concern for his little children. You know our frames, that we are but dust. And I thank you, Lord, that it is your good pleasure to give us the kingdom. And I thank you that the work that you've begun in each one of us in this room, you are faithful. You will complete it. Thank you for planting us by the rivers of water. Show us those rivers, Lord. Show us how to connect and spread out our roots so that we're green, that we produce fruit, that we don't have to be anxious, that we're not in a place of being fearful because of the heat. And Lord, calm us down, Lord. We're a people who are often easily shaken. And Lord, we just want your voice to come in, not the ones from the false prophets, but the voice that would have settled us and established us and calmed us. In Jesus' name, amen.